Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Connie Bennett. This is Connie Bennett. I hope you all like my new jingle. This is a special Stop Sugar Shock radio show, and I am totally going off topic. We are not going to talk about sugar today. We are going to talk with Melissa Lasky, who is one of the most famous bloggers out there. She is founder of the blog Opinionista. Her story is absolutely fascinating, fascinating, fascinating story. You can go to her blog. It is opinionistas.com, and it's opinionistas.com. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Connie. It's definitely an experience.
Well, you know, I've followed your story with interest, which is why I was so eager to have you on the show. So basically, you were an attorney living in downtown New York City.
That's
and
correct.
You had a therapist who said, hey, why don't you write about some of your experiences so that you can deal with them? Because at the time, you apparently had some unpleasant experiences at this law firm.
Well,
Or eye-opening experiences.
Certainly eye-opening and unpleasant in the extent that they would be unpleasant for just about anyone. I was your very typical young Manhattan lawyer working for a firm. I had a complete with my shrink. And I started suffering from really terrible insomnia, and nothing was physically wrong with me. I went to various doctors and had tests, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with me. There was no reason why I wasn't sleeping at night. But as anyone who's ever suffered from insomnia knows, it kind of throws your life into this bizarre purgatory where you're never really awake and coherent and able to really figure out what is happening on any given day.
So from insomnia to blogging, you couldn't sleep.
The two of them actually go very well. If you're going to be a blogger, one of the best times to do it is at 2 in the morning.
I'm embarrassed to admit I can relate to that.
Yeah, but so I stopped going to various doctors who would just sort of prescribe medication and say, take this and you'll sleep at night. And then I went to someone new and he said, what's going on with you is clearly anxiety related. There are things going on in your life that you're not dealing with. You're not expressing yourself. You're not really in touch with what's going on with your environment, with the feelings that you have about it, with your job. And one of the ways that you can create an outlet for yourself is through writing. And his suggestion was to keep a journal. That didn't exactly happen.
You took it a little further. You said, I'll start a blog.
I did. One of the only constants with the internet is how ephemeral everything is, how fast everything changes. And I know it may sound hard to believe now, but this was early 2005, and blogs were still sort of skirting the mainstream. They weren't quite as front and center as they are now. And starting a blog still seemed kind of like a bizarre, edgy sort of unusual thing to do. Now, I mean, my grandmother has a blog. My goldfish has a blog. It's become pretty ubiquitous. But back then, it was kind of like a blog. Why on earth would anybody do that? That sounds ridiculous.
So you wrote about some things that you witnessed at your job, and there was one incredibly telling entry, which I'm just going to read an excerpt of it, where you talked about how you had witnessed, quote, enough bad lawyer behavior to fill a full season of reality TV, partners hurling F-bombs, staplers, and blackberries at cringing subordinates, sleep-deprived mid-level associates screaming at paralegals to recopy massive boxes of documents in 30 minutes or else file for unemployment, male partners engaging in the full gamut of inappropriate workplace touching of young female employees, all before the morning coffee break.
Yeah, that was I think one of the very first posts that I ever wrote. Wow.
For some reason I could not find this on the Opinionistas blog.
Well,
I found it from a link.
Right.
Because you were then, a mere 1 month into blogging, you were discovered by the super hip blog Gawker.
Yes, that was that was definitely unexpected. What you just read is one of the first posts I ever wrote, and it's funny to hear it read back to me because it's not something I would ever write now. The first month or two of blogging was really just pure verbal emoting onto a computer screen. I mean, I was just purging everything.
But this was brilliant. I mean, it's brilliant writing. It's evocative. You're there. You can visualize this happening.
Yeah, I mean, it was me ranting in the middle of the night is what it was. And it worked. I mean, I started to feel a lot better. I started to notice my environment, how I felt about my environment. I started to get much more present to things that were happening in the workplace, things that didn't quite feel right to me. I started to think about, well, why doesn't this feel right to me? Is it me? Is it them? What's going on here? And by writing about my daily experiences, did it put my job in jeopardy? Yes, but I was entirely anonymous, and I never intended for anybody to really read this.
Readers flooded your site by the thousands.
I mean, he who is without ego cast the first stone. Of course, I wanted a few people to read it, so I sent the link to some friends, a few friends from college, a couple of friends from childhood, some law school friends, and I said, read this. Isn't this funny? I figured everyone could relate. And I'm not the best correspondent, to be honest. I'm not very good at returning emails. I tend to just sort of put everything off, and it's not, I don't want to lose touch with friends, and I thought that this would be a great way to just sort of touch base with everyone. You want to know how things are going with me, just read this blog.
So one of them must have written to Gawker.
Yeah, so I didn't realize the... I didn't realize how fast things spread on the Internet.
Especially if they're well-written and insightful and eye-opening.
Well, especially if it's about lawyers, and lawyers are people who sit at their computers every day and they send emails out like taking breaths. And this got sent around one law firm, then it got sent around to another law firm, and eventually found its way into the inbox of the Gawker editors, the editor at the time was Jessica Cohen, who is now at New York Magazine. And she said, oh, I'm going to run with this. This was at a time when, anonymous blogging was kind of a story. It was a little sexy, as sexy as blogging could be. And so she ran with it, and I will never forget the day sitting in my office when I got an email from a friend of mine who works in media saying, isn't this your blog? The link to, and thank God it wasn't to my work email, it was to my private email. But it was a link to the Gawker post, and I said, oh my God. And at first I was excited. I was so thrilled and flattered, and oh my God, I must be important. Look, I'm on Gawker. But after about 10 minutes, I started to realize, oh crap, am I allowed to say crap on the radio? I'm probably going to get fired, and how am I going to pay my rent? So that day, about 10,000 people visited the blog, and then it spread like wildfire on the Internet. And I was convinced every day that I was going to get fired, which, of course, didn't help my anxiety and didn't really help me sleep. But
and at the same time, you're then profiled in, or your blog was profiled in the New York Times, New York Post, Harvard Law Record, the ABA Journal, Newsday, et cetera.
Well, that came later. All of that came
in the coming months, yeah.
Yes, in the coming months. I started to make a contingency plan. The only thing that never occurred to me was, oh, I'll just shut down the blog. It just never occurred to me. And when I realized that it had never occurred to me to shut it down, even though my six-figure job was in jeopardy, even though I had spent all this money on law school and worked so hard. And
it fulfilled a need or a purpose for you.
It was a really basic sort of need. It was just something that I absolutely knew that I couldn't just shut the hell up and go back to work. Something had changed. Something had shifted. And once you feel self-expressed, I mean, how do you willingly go back?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Cause sometimes I don't even know, you know, why I want to write something on my blog, but I want to write it on my blog. For those
exactly.
of you who do not know me, it's my blog is sugarshockblog.com. It started out as just talking about the dangers of sugars and refined carbs, and I'm now, I don't know, expanding it.
Absolutely.
Talk about other things. I think you're absolutely right. And for those of you who have just joined us, my guest is Melissa Lafsky. She is the provocative founder of Opinionistas.com, this amazing blog. And we're going to talk a little bit about finding yourself through blogging, unlocking self-expression online. We're obviously making that transition right now. But I want to get back to just, if you can tell our listeners, kind of the rest of your history. So there you were, you know, being able to express yourself, finding that, you know, you were feeling better, and somehow blogging was helping you to do that, and yet at the same time your job might have been in jeopardy.
Oh, my job was most definitely in jeopardy. I mean, I won't tiptoe around it. I was writing I wrote about my personal life as well. I wrote about, you know, feelings about my parents, of course. I mean, what do you write about other than feelings about your parents? I wrote about my relationship with my boyfriend, but I primarily wrote about my job because that's where you spend 90% of your time. I mean, especially in a corporate law job, and I was there 14 hours out of my day. I was there the vast majority of my waking hours, and my job was really my life, as it is for most people. And so that was what I had to write about. Also, it really was just such a wonderfully topic-rich environment. I know a lot of lawyers have written to me and said, honestly, I mean, law is so boring and our job is so boring. I agree. I'm not going to disagree with that, but 2 minutes out of every day was absolutely hysterical or tragic or fascinating or any all of the above. So I would take that 2 minutes and that's what I would write about. Really just sort of distilling your day into, wow, that 2 minutes really just spells out my whole experience, and then going home and writing about it and just sort of digesting it. And that was really a powerful process for me. I started to realize that this really wasn't necessarily the career for me. Being a lawyer at a large private firm, the type of work I was doing, we were obviously on the defense side. I would work on employment cases, race discrimination, sex discrimination, and I would be on the side of the large corporations. The type of daily work that I was doing, the interactions that I was having with superiors, the competition with my peers, it was just very based on principles that I didn't want to base my career on. If I'm going to spend 20, 30, 40, however many years working 10 or more hours a day on something, it's just not going to cut it if I honestly don't feel that it's contributing to society or that it's the best use of my skills. And I think that's true of a lot of people. We're all good at something. Everybody has a specific way of contributing to society, and everybody has a talent and a skill. It's just a question of really finding a career that utilizes them. And law, you have a lot of really, really brilliant and talented people in law, but they're not necessarily able to utilize their talents or their intelligence all the time.
So what I find very interesting is that basically blogging opened the door for you to do more writing. You're clearly, I mean, you're a beautiful writer. I mean,
well, thank you.
So eloquent. And for those listeners who do not know what Melissa is up to these days, she is now editor at the Freakonomics.com website at the New York Times, and she writes, manages, and edits daily content, including commentary and analysis, and original reporting and news related to topics in the best-selling book Freakonomics. And she's also assists the authors with projects including film and TV. Before that, you were associate editor for the Huffington Post. And, of course, you also have been doing your share of freelance writing as well. So we want to give some people some tips, people who are in blogging. How can you unlock, how can a blog help to unlock your self-expression?
My number one rule, I would say, and this is an unpopular rule for a lot of people, but for me it has been the most important thing about blogging. If you're scared to write about it, or if you really don't want to write about it, that's what you should be writing about. If you are worried about what people think, if you write about X or Y, if you're worried about looking bad, then that's what you need to be writing. And it is hard. I'm not going to say it's not hard. Of course you want to control the situation. And a blog is a very personal piece of writing, no matter what your topic is. Your topic could be bass fishing, but it's still coming from you, so it's personal. And you might not be writing about your home life or your job. And from a professional standpoint and as a lawyer, I would advise not writing about your job, at least not unless it's in a professional capacity with the consent of your employer. But you're going to be writing something, and it's going to be something that you care about, or else why would you be blogging it? It's not like blogging is necessarily such a lucrative enterprise, and it's incredibly time-consuming. And it's very difficult, and it can be overwhelming. But as far as personal fulfillment, I really do think that write something true, and that will really take you places. State the truth and be authentic. And that really opens up a dialogue with yourself. And that has been the most therapeutic thing for me, just giving up the sense that you have to control what other people think, and you have to control what your image is, and it's just not going to happen. We have no control. So getting in touch with that and giving that up, a blog can be a very powerful tool for that. It certainly was for me, and that really has been my rule. And another tip that I've learned from experience is that it's great to be funny, and blogs, the best blogs in my opinion, don't take themselves that seriously and are often funny. There are really two kinds of humor on the internet. There's making fun of other people, and then there's making fun of yourself. And I've done both. I'm not necessarily proud of making fun of other people, and it's honestly something that I've learned that I don't want to do. It's not really the conversation that I want to be in. There are blogs that are entirely dedicated to, I hate X, or and that's entirely your choice. But I think it's important to think about what you want to be putting out into the world. Not to get to sort of reciting mantras or anything, but there is an element of thinking about the greater contribution. What do you want to be saying here? And I think those have really been the two biggest lessons that I've learned from plenty of mistakes and plenty of experience.
This is all very, very interesting. So would you say that basically by blogging, I mean, you're a different person than you were?
Absolutely. I don't know if people ask me, without the internet, would you still be a lawyer? And it's very possible. It is very possible. I mean, the internet is creating such a new marketplace. I have now had two jobs since I left law, sort of left the practice of law. I've worked at two different organizations. Neither of those jobs existed 5 years ago. God knows in 10 years what else is going to exist. And those jobs have really enabled me to create a lifestyle more in line with the way that I work best, the way that I can maximize my everything from my energy to skills.
Again, down to being true to yourself.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to say quit your job right now and jump on entrepreneurial ventures, but at the same time, it has made it so much easier in myriad different ways to start your own business, to pursue your dream career, to even just figure out what else is out there. If you're doing work that you absolutely hate, that's going to affect every facet of your life. And the internet allows you to look around and see, okay, I'm a lawyer. I hate being a lawyer. This is so not for me. I feel trapped because I'm making all this money and I'm not going to make all this money doing something else. But there must be something else out there. What are other people doing? And just that means of exploration. So to get back to your question, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would still be a lawyer toiling away at a firm. I would like to think I wouldn't, but the internet really has created this forum for me, and I know for other people too.
So give us give the other bloggers out there, either newbie bloggers or even veteran bloggers, some other tips to really, you know, create a blog that's popular, that you know, kind of makes sense to people.
Create a blog that's popular.
Okay,
that's
not necessarily,
saying,
you know, but to create blog posts that really hold true to people that you know,
right,
that they
right.
can identify with.
Right. The number one rule, I mean, I know this is kind of, you know, create lightning in a bottle, but the number one rule is that good content rises to the top. If your content is good, you don't need flashy titles and flashy pictures and gimmicks and blah, blah, blah. Your content is good, and I liken it to oil and water. The good content is like oil, it rises to the top. And when I say good, I mean, that's obviously such a subjective measure. What's good? Well, what's good is something that provides something that readers want. Think about your readers. And, I mean, there's such a huge variety of blogs out there, and there's so many different goals and purposes behind blogs, and also just the definition of blog has become so murky. I mean, I write for a site that's on the New York Times website. Is it a blog? Well, yes, in the technical sense, but it's also a news source, etc. I worked for the Huffington Post. Is that really a blog? Well, not in the traditional sense, but it's classified as such. So the definition of blog is also just getting so huge, and I would really define what your market is and what your niche is as far as blogging. I mean, what's your end goal? If you come into it, and of course, I certainly don't practice what I preach. I had absolutely no intention of using my blog as a means to start a new career, but I did have a goal when I started the blog, which was to keep in touch with friends and also just to find a means of self-expression. And it can be as simple as that. It can be as simple as I want my parents and in-laws to be able to read about the new baby and what she does every day and what she eats. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a fantastic reason to have a blog, in my view. So how to write a popular blog, I mean, it's just such what is popular and what is successful? I mean, really, success is within your own personal definition. Do you want to be making $1 million from your blog in a year? Well, that's possible. It's definitely possible. I mean, I can name 10 people for whom that's happened. But it also hasn't just happened. They really carefully researched the market. They discovered some kind of niche that was not being filled, or
right.
market was not being served.
Their specific audience.
Exactly. And that can be important too. Know your audience. Who do you want to be reading this? And that's also important if you want to have advertising on the site. You need to know who your readers are, and you need to know who your potential readers are. So do your homework. And it's a lot more work than it looks like.
What do you think if somebody is working on a blog and trying to, you know, build it up, how much time do you think they should be spending?
Well, I mean, that completely depends on, that's, if you're a mother of two working full-time, I'm not going to tell you to spend 3 hours a day on your blog. That's obviously not realistic. If you're a fresh college graduate trying to do a startup, then you should be spending 8 or 9 hours a day. I mean, I would look at it from the point of view of the successful bloggers. A lot of these people that I know are incredibly smart, and they work absurdly hard.
What are your favorite blogs?
Oh, boy. Well, Freakonomics, of course. All of the blogs on the New York Times website are really excellent, and I'm not just saying that because they host us and because I work with them, but there are some really fantastic blogs on there. Let's see. I would say I'm a big fan of Broadsheet. It's the women's issues blog on Salon.com. I think they have really excellent commentary. Consumerist.com. It's part of Gawker Media. I think it's an excellent site about consumer matters. And what else do I have on my Google Reader here? I have some nerdy blogs, like the Becker Posner blog. They're both very brilliant minds, and they sort of sound off on issues like global warming and cancer research. I like TheStreet.com. It was founded by Jim Cramer. It's a good financial site. It's not the sexiest, but for someone like me who I feel like I should know more about finance, I think it's a great site. If I can follow it, anybody can follow it. The blog's on Slate. Slate's an excellent online magazine.
Which one?
Slate.com.
Oh, Slate. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an excellent online magazine, and it has really sort of created the paradigm of online magazine, and they have some really good blogs. So yeah, I'd say those are my favorites.
Freakonomics, Broadsheet, Consumerist, TheStreet.com, Slate.com, Becker, Posner. Did I leave anybody else out?
I don't think so. And then, you know, there are my friends' blogs, which of course I think are fantastic. that pretty much covers it.
So we only have 4 minutes remaining here. So what would you recommend that somebody do as they sit down to write a blog post?
Oh,
what
boy.
What should they ask themselves?
What
should they have as their goal when they sit down?
Authenticity, I guess, in whatever sense of the word is meaningful to you. No matter what your topic and no matter what your goal with the blog, be authentic. Why are you writing what you're writing? Is it because you feel that you have something to say that contributes to the conversation about whatever the topic is that you're blogging about, or is it any one of the number of other reasons? You are pissed off and you just want to vent. Well, that's a perfectly good reason. But as somebody who used to blog because I was pissed off in one event, I will say that it's not always necessarily the best way to blog. It can be very cathartic to just sit down and write in anger and you get things off your chest. But just remember that what you put up on the internet never goes away.
And you need to reread those posts before you post them.
Exactly. If you're angry and you blog, wait an hour or two or even a day, sleep on it, read it again the next day. And if you still like it and you still think that it's really a reasonable representation of what you wanted to say, then by all means post it. But I would definitely advise avoiding rage blogging. And also remembering that, as I mentioned, anything that you put up on the internet is there forever. We had talked about posts, quote unquote, missing from my blog. Well,
yes, posts missing from your blog.
I culled the entries when I moved the blog from Blogspot to its own host when I started to get really serious about blogging and decided to write a novel and signed with an agent and all this fancy stuff. And so I said, oh, I should really have my own URL. So I moved over, and I culled a lot of the entries.
Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time. This was very, very exciting. Again, check out Melissa's blog, which is opinionistas.com, and, of course, check out the Freakonomics.com website over at the New York Times. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Really, really appreciate it. And I will see you all tomorrow because I'm doing another special show with Gary Taubes. Thank you again. This is Connie Bennett. This is Stop Sugar Shock Radio Show. Good night.